Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've been SLB Online, Dead Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Manara joins me to talk guest every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444 to follow directions 177. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702. Or SFU On Call, or Starfleet Universe On Call, and you'll find us there. But if you want the best online experience, you go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. Yeah, twitch.tv/SFU On Call. That is the best place for that. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on the Twitter/X, whatever. Podcasting account is SFU On Call. Also, the primary personal account is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And also, if you want to follow my business account, that's going to be Franz Games, FranzGames, and there's no T in that. And of course, the lovely Talkcast, Get to Know Podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Petrick currently is out for a little bit. I didn't see a reason why, but he is. Also, a reminder that Shapeways has ceased operation. At this point, I actually heard they're no longer taking orders at all, which is a good thing since they already filed for Chapter 7 of Title 11. It's been confirmed by ADB. They have not got, and supposedly they're supposed to get the last of their royalties, but they figured they're not going to get any of that, which is going to suck, but it is what it is. Also, found on the online store this week is Prime Directive PD-20. It's $24.95. The universe comes to love the game system you already know. Brilliantly compiled by Jonathan Thompson and masterfully edited by Ken Burnside. Sounds like how long ago this was last updated. PD-20 allows you to take the heroic role of a starship captain, a commando, a diplomat, a spy, or a traitor, flying a shuttle on tribbles from a shuttle full of tribbles from planet to planet. 190 pages. This book requires the D&D Player Handbook version 3.5 to play. So just a reminder about that. It's not a standalone book. You need those other books for the rules. Well, the basic system, basically. So the system rules aren't included in Prime Directive PD-20. Moving onward and forward, the SFB online tournament, the Sapphire Star 17 tournament. So we do have 16 signups, so we're right now just waiting for Steve Petcher to come back and set up the tree. Moving on to the library stuff, still no progress for this week. I didn't get any updates for that, and I apologize if I have not gotten around to actually giving a good manual or video for Frank and for Matt about how to use them refits in the client, i.e. when it comes to the ship definition and setting up the refits and how properly to do that. And a reminder for those of you who are listening and watching, there will be no podcast next week. I will be completely and utterly out of town. I'm not going to say disconnect because I'll probably still have my phone. But I will not have time to do the podcast, so I'll be out of town. So I will be seeing you guys in 2 weeks. I was right after the ending of this podcast. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, someone one all Paul, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, we got me, of course, and we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And I think I finally missed that. I finally figured out my audio arrangement, so it should be working just fine now. And let me turn down my iPad, which is over there. I just, as I mentioned multiple times before, I just use that as my monitor to know what I actually am showing on the screen. But broadcasting. By the way, tonight we're going to do something a little different. I did something which I've wanted to do for a while, and then I realized doing that actually is going to cost me money. Related to that, okay, I decided, okay, I'm going to use SurveyMonkey, because everyone uses SurveyMonkey. Problem with SurveyMonkey, you can do it for free for 25 responses. I have more than I was hoping I'd have light turnout on my survey, and I just saw 25 responses. Okay, I'd be fine. No, I got 45 responses, and that's as of today. And it's been 4 days. I think I sent it out on Sunday. So good. I got a good bit of response. I don't expect to see much more response, honestly. Obviously, if you're hearing me and you have not yet responded to that survey and want to respond to the survey, feel free to go respond to the survey. I am not going to post up the link to anything else. If you got my email, that means you have an account on an actual active account on SFB Online, then please answer the question and send that off to me. I think it was, yeah. Anyhow, so tonight what we're going to do is the problem is when you go up from 25 to 45, you have to spend money. So I spent some money because I figured I wanted the response. I am really glad I actually paid the additional money just because of the additional data that I got, you know, twice as much than previously. And I wouldn't have seen the picture I saw at the moment. My first responsive came in. I got a very, in my mind, a skewed view. At least, okay, maybe I wasn't the skewed view. My own thinking was skewed. That's why I thought about it. It's like, okay, I'm going to get the responses. I'm going to just wait for the data to mellow out in my own mind, because I know that some of my own thinking was wrong. Well, not wrong. Well, it kind of was wrong, but it was not. I was reading assumptions into the data that weren't there. So instead of actually looking at the data and then going from there and saying, okay, here's the data. Let's see, what does the data say? Instead of saying, okay, I have this assumption and I'm going to read the data in the way that I make, you know, that I understand the world as, which is wrong. You know, if you want to actually understand the data, you have to put aside any assumptions of, in my case, almost malice to a certain degree. And it's not, well, I think malice is the harsh word to say for it, but I have made some assumptions. Okay, let's put it that way. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Predisposition?
Yes. A prejudice against the way I viewed the people who used the client. So, with that, let me switch so that y'all can see this, because I'm going to be showing you the actual responses. Now, obviously, if you haven't responded yet, feel free. You can possibly modify the data and update it. Okay, question number one, which is, which chat area do you use? Because in the client, there's two chat areas. There is a chat area that's part of the game control window, the small little window, which floats above the actual board, but also has additional data that you have in there. Or do you use the game board one, which can either be at the very bottom of the game board or can be on the side of the game board? And from the looks of it, around 45% of people actually just use the game control window. But here's the thing. Both, if they use both, I got 35% of the people said that they actually use both of them. Now, to me, what that can mean is that this can be put either one here. Obviously, people who use the game board window, the chat area of the game board are smaller. So this, if you get rid of this one, it's obvious that, yes, Kitty. The game control window is the preferred with 45%. Or actually, if you can go include both in that, then it's like 80%. But of course, also use the game board and add the 35% to 90, 19%, you've got around 55% of people use also the game board, which really is kind of interesting in that actually they use one, they use both. Because 35% versus the highest individual, which is 45%. So that means that that's not, and this is my assumption, and I'll acknowledge that to begin with. I'm currently assuming that when they say both, what they mean is that within the same game, they have both chat areas up. Versus the other possibility there is not that, is that for some games, they use just the game control window. In some games, they use the game board window. For example, possibly for tournaments, individual solo games. Not solo, well, it's possibly solo, possibly tournament, duels games that they use the game, that in that case, they use the game control window. But the game board window might be used for fleets, because then you have a little more room and so forth to talk about. Now, obviously, that's one thing. Now that I'm thinking about that, that I possibly should have responded, which is asked the question, which is, what kind of games do you play? Do you play tournament games or fleet games, or do you play both? And possibly, maybe actually, I probably want a multiple response for that. I'm thinking about
What
tournament
about
games.
scenarios?
I was thinking, also, so you can have solo games, with against monsters. That's another one, but but that would be a multiple choice, because currently what I did, I set up all the surveys to be single choice options, just because of in this case, you can have it so that it can be multiple choice. And not have the both option. But
Okay, as a person who does not use the client to play, my question is the chat area where it says game board, does that one, or says, does either of the two windows, are they, is it purely a informational thing for the game where it like gives you a feedback loops?
Okay.
Like, all the movement, the damage, the rolls, all that
Yes.
stuff. And is
Yes.
the other one mainly just pure chat?
Nope. You can also do chats as part of the one that's associated with the game board.
But does one of them do specifically giving you information from the client,
Both.
not your opponent?
You mean with okay. One's
Like a
that,
log of the actions.
right, without showing any of the chat. And the answer to that question is no. Yeah, the options, there it is. Options and show chat area. So this shows this and This should show. So you're going to see all this kind of stuff. But you should see also this is actually a chat area. So I'm going to just do this. Hey, hello. And see, they're duplicates.
So they basically do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have two different windows that do the same thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, I have two different areas that will do the same thing. And the question, which I wanted to know, which one do people prefer? Do they prefer to just use this one? Because you can configure this to show it or hide it. You can configure the one on the game board down here to show it or hide it.
Wouldn't it just be one window that you use in either way?
Cool. Get another response.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea is to have options. That was the whole idea in this. But one of the things I've been trying to do with the client is to trim things down, possibly remove some of the duplications. And part of that actually comes in one of the, to the next question. Yeah, here it is. Would you like to have a separate chat window for the game room? And we got a 37% response, yes. 11, no, but 51% don't care. Now, the one question I did not bring forward in this response, in this question, is if I removed the chat areas from the game board and the game control window, would you complain that, oh, I want it that way, or would you just use a separate chat window if I change the design to be that way? You know, which is one of the things I would like to do, but at the same time, I know that there is the innate pressure or the innate
resistance.
Resistance, thank you. Perfect.
You're welcome.
Resistance.
Change is bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I understand that. And
sorry, kitty cat. The cat was sitting right in front of me when I said that.
Yeah.
And she decided kitty. I'm going to get up and go somewhere else right now.
I'm sorry, Omaha. He's speaking me with loud and bad.
Nah, she's okay. She just kind of walked away. She didn't like jump away or anything.
My cat.
All right.
I have one that's really skittish, and boy, he would jump. So
she just kind of said, you know, I think I'll just go sit in the window for a while now.
Moving onward to the action/impulse bar. For those of you who don't know the client, that's this right here. This is the impulse/action bar. It's specified as the action bar. So if you look at the actual menu, it'll say action bar. So click on action bar, you'll see the action bar. That's actually kind of the generic term for the client. It's inside the client itself, because of it might not necessarily be an impulse chart. Actually, not an impulse, but basically what it is it shows the speeds for this impulse, which are the ones that are moving this impulse. Missed it. Oh, there it is. There. Oh boy. Interesting, but
What's that?
this these I think honestly some of these are actually the trails. The trails feature. Oh, bump. So where do you use that? Because of in theory you can have it enable or disable. And most people, again, it's pretty consistent that when it comes to responses, is that okay? When it comes to the game board, the game board and game control windows. My guess is that given the responses, now I have not checked this by the data because I actually do have that too. So let's go over to here for a moment. I'm just going to set this here to here and go. And just these like columns, get rid of them. I don't care about them. And see, game board, game control, game control, both game board, game board, game. See, they're kind of consistent for the most part, which is, well, here's one. Game board and game control. Interesting. But for the most part, they correlate between chat area and action bar. So for most people, the chat area and the action bar are tied, at least in their minds, it's tied. Which means most probably they have one up and they use that one, and that action bar is the one that's closest to them. So that makes sense. For most part, action bar and the chat area are tied, then that's what one thing that comes clear in the survey, at least in people's minds. And then here's one. And now this was for actually a function that does not currently exist. I used to have it existing and I removed it because of I didn't know there was a way to actually scroll sideways. It was only up and down. And actually, there is a way of doing it sideways. I found out later. After I removed the ability, which is which one do you prefer? The scroll wheel, this thing on a mouse. What do you want it to do? Do you want zoom or do you want the scroll? And lastly, neither, which is I don't want it to do anything, which is interesting to me. There actually was 11% that want neither,
Wow.
or prefer neither. I'm sorry, they prefer neither, which I'm kind of surprised myself.
Do you have a plus minus function for zooming in and out and arrow keys for up and down?
For scrolling, the only way to do scrolling
Well,
is actually using the scroll bar. When it comes to, and this is for the game board. Oh,
okay.
I forgot to mention that, but I thought that was actually one person actually skipped. That was interesting. So most people still like the zooming, but there's still a good number of people, 30 around 35 or 34% that would prefer to use it for scrolling. Because to me, you can only use one of those two functions. You can't go back and forth. And
Here
trust
you
me,
could.
well,
Oh, you could do it one of two ways that come to mind.
yeah.
You've got press the key and use it,
Right.
press the wheel and use it, and then oh yeah, pressing the wheel isn't doing it. Oh yeah, it does do that. It does do something. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was the one thing that someone
No, yeah,
told me with the
and
scrolling is that, okay, the scroll thing will go up and down, but if you, I think you press the control button, I think it is, and and use the scroll button, scroll wheel, then it'll scroll side to side.
No, I meant like if actually pressing the wheel down itself. Try that, because it still functions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a click when you do. There's a different function.
Interesting.
Excellent. Yeah, I have Eve up on the other machine, and I was just kind of playing around with that when you mentioned that.
Yeah. Oh,
like, let me see if I can do different stuff with the mouse wheel here.
Mm-hmm.
And it functions either way, apparently. Oh, it does. Up and down that way.
Oh, by the way, I created a new character.
Changes speed in that way.
So.
Okay.
And I'm trying to go through the tutorial again and learn it all over again. It has been so long.
Ah, okay. That's cool. So let me know when you got some time. We can go do some stuff.
We'll do. They definitely, when it comes to Eve, they changed the beginning of the game when you first start.
Yes, they did.
They
altered their new player experience significantly. Yes.
Oh, very much. I added a new character. Well, first thing happens, I get blown up. Which is not.
Hi, welcome to the game.
Right. Oh, but it's kind of almost on purpose. And then you go on this on a mission with your clan to save these ships, and then you learn by, you know, okay, go around, orbit around the ship, and then you need to fire. You need to kill these ships, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, we use a web of some sort, which held the ship in position. Make sure it couldn't get away.
Yeah, there's web stasis, and then there's scrams and points. So there's that.
Yeah, I think it was the web. Which was weird. It's like, huh? It's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
So,
wait
and see. Okay.
Well, the web part just slows you down significantly.
Oh, yeah. Well, the idea was is to have other ships come in and destroy the ship that you're holding in place.
Right.
Of course, I went against a battleship.
Did you roll?
And it killed me.
Did you roll Minmatar for that? Because you said clan.
Well, I'm not sure. I forgot the beginning four things you can be part of. Like, I think Amon and...
There's four factions. You got Amar.
Yeah, Amar.
You got Amar. You got Minmatar. Then you've got Galente and Kaldari.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so I said, I want to be an explorer is what I want to be.
Oh, you could join my corp and come be an explorer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I've got a good spot you can explore from.
Understood. Let me first relearn the game, how to do the controls and things like that. Help me get the understanding first again, because it's been a few years.
That's okay.
I figured
perfection is not needed.
I figured my other main character that you've given a lot of stuff to, leave him alone for the moment and use this guy for tutorials, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Learning.
Oh, so, yeah.
Okay. This one was interesting, which is LOS string feature. Now, for those of you who don't know the client or don't know what that means, LOS stands for, it's an abbreviation for line of sight. And I said, okay, well, do you actually use the feature? That almost 70% of the people said yes. I don't use the feature. So it's like, wow. 15% that said no. And then the 15% like, what feature?
Yeah, huh.
And the thing is, it's not like it's hidden either. Oh, kind of is hidden. If you bring up the menu for the board, or right click on the board to bring up the menu, that pop up menu, it's right there.
So, now is that a function that literally works as it sounds, like to tell you if you can see, like, if a planet intersects with you, your line of sight type of thing?
This kind of thing.
Okay. Now, does that, when you use that, does it tell you the range between the two automatically?
No. No.
It just says if you have line of sight.
Right. The idea of it, in the case of SFB, is more of, I would think, to allow you to see, you know, what kind of shield would this be on? In the case of line of sight, okay, if you have, like, asteroids, will the asteroid be in the way? You know?
Yeah, do you clip the terrain?
Right, exactly.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. It doesn't have a range feature, but you know.
So basically it has two major functions. One is to see if you clip the terrain or terrain blocks you, and the other is determining shield determination. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most common thing.
Yeah.
I can see how that's extremely handy.
Right. Oh, yeah. I said, the funny thing is that I don't even use that feature. Maybe I should. That might help me.
Oh, yeah, there's that. And you might also have a just a good feel for it.
Right. Oh, understood. Like, but, you know, but I was, to me, I was just shocked by the response. That out of the 45 people who have answered, 31 of them said, yes, I use that feature. So I was like, wow. One. Moving on to question number 6. Do you use a show trails feature, and which is it's a relatively new feature, which makes me understand it to a certain degree of why I get a 26% response that's going, I don't know that feature. 20% which are no, okay, I can see that being annoying, especially if you have a lot of ships. It gets kind of confusing. Because currently I have a single color, which is used for all trails. That's because it makes it simple. Because then we have overlaps. What do you do with overlaps? Who wins with an overlap of two different colors? Yeah. And yes, of course, around 50%, which means they know about the feature. And they use it. But I think by default, it's enabled. So you actually have to turn off to not use it. Now, the toolbar. That's this thing up here. Vertically.
Oh, yeah. Say hi to Jeff. Jeff's in chat.
Oh. Hey, Jeff. And actually, let me do one thing, which is, okay. Do-do-do. I just want to make sure that Jeff didn't sign in. He did not sign in, but he's in the chat room and Twitch, as I said. Hey, Jeff. Vertical, 11%. And then 55% said, oh, yeah, I like it vertical. I like it horizontal. You know, don't use up. And then 33%, which is, I don't care. Either one works fine for me. Which is fine.
Is that adjustable? Is that something you can fix, you can redo yourself?
Yeah. In theory, you can do this and then go over here. Now, that's one thing I need to work on, because, see, here's the thing. When you go vertical, this gets really wide. I don't like that. And that's why I need to... I might actually have to have it so that you actually have to click, instead of using the inherent toolbar feature of Java, I might actually have to change it so it's actually just a panel and I have to do it myself. Because, and then have it so the vertical bar is actually defined except differently than I do for the horizontal bar. Because currently, you know, this one is set up, a big issue, as you see here, is how wide it is. Now, in theory, this should be able to float, see? Which is, in my mind, can be quite nice. anywhere you want, and it leaves you as much room on the board as possible, and you can keep it out of your way if you want to. Close it. It's going to add it back here. There. So that's how the toolbar feature currently works. But as I said, you know, the thing is, I'd like to redefine what it does when it's vertical. Because as you said, as you see, it's quite wide. And so most people like it basically the default, which might be just because it's the default. And 11% actually like it vertically, which means they actually have to change it from horizontal to vertical themselves. And then you have 33% would say, I don't care if it's horizontal or vertical, as long as it's there. Possibly, heck, that might even mean that those people don't use it. Don't use the toolbar. Because, you know, there's, as you can see here, there's only a limited tools here. This is for setting the board size. This is for enabling the hex numbers on it. This is for increasing and decreasing the cell size, as in this. So if I can go like this and makes it larger, makes it smaller. This is for the line of sight strings. This is for adding and deleting pieces. This is for viewing the list of all pieces, i.e. the game control window. This is the sync, because sometimes you actually have to do sync so that both what you see and what your opponent sees are the same. This is just checking the version. These days, it's not much of a needed feature as it previously was. Of course, there's snapshot. I don't think anyone uses that feature. This, I think everyone uses, because that's the start of the turn. You do the reveal EW and the speeds. Right after you finish EA, you reveal the starting status of EW and then the starting speeds. And then, of course, there's the dice here. And what is with the impulse? And what's this one? Oh, that's the feedback button. And this is, you know, weapons chart. So you can bring up the weapons chart, and then for those of you who don't know the client, you click on which is what you roll, and it'll pull up the damage, and you hit display, and it adds it to the chat room. And boop. So yeah, so you can actually, in theory, use the client without even using the toolbar at all. Now, there's no option to actually remove the toolbar. I don't think there is. Let me check. I haven't looked at some of these things. Oh, actually, you can hide it. You can go around without the toolbar at all. But for me, I always have the toolbar on. And the thing is, the main one I use is that one. Okay, excuse me. For those that are on video, I had to do a little sneezing. Uh-oh, somebody stops. Oh. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Okay, so I said, okay, fine. Would you like the toolbar to be a separate window, as I showed you? And most of them said, no, basically, they want it as part of the game board window. So it's like, okay, fine. 34%, well, 30, basically 35% said, I don't care. With yes, only answering 20%. Now, this is one of those features that's been in the client for a long time. I did a video on this specific feature, and it's available on YouTube, which actually shows you how to use the function key selection, which is kind of, it's a nice feature, when you're flying multiple ships. And yeah, it's, I said, i.e., the feature that allows you to create a selection of windows that's tied to a function key. And only 30% then actually use it, 28 no, and 33 didn't even know the feature existed, which means that possibly I might need better onboarding processes, especially given that I have the video out there that, for people to look at. Because what it is, see this up here? These are keys, function keys. So what you can do is go boom, boom, boom. Okay, got it to me. You see this key? So I select those. I say I want to set the key. Let's go F5. Okay, that sets that. So do that. I select that. Now if I hit F5. Voila. Those things are set. Or if I want to, let's go here, and now I'm going to use the actual function key 5, and voila. That's really great when you're doing like drones or large amount seeking weapons that are grouped together. Because then you can actually turn them and move them as a group very, very easily using that selection group. It's nice for like seeking weapons, fighters, or a group of ships, possibly. I've actually used that one time when in a battle situation where I had two ships which were tied together via a tractor beam. It was a mothership and an Eel Scout. And to save power on the scout, the Eel, so that it actually had more power for the special channels, I just had the mothership attach a tractor beam and just drag it along. Yes, it slowed down the mothership, but and the mothership required more power to actually move, but it could afford the using the power and versus the scout. So the scout had a lot more power without using batteries for the special channels. And it worked quite well. I thought that was kind of a neat thing to do. Excuse me. But again, you know, it's like a third each one. You know, a third yes, third no, and third I didn't know the feature existed. And that's it for when it comes to the questions that were answered. They're actually allowed up to 10 questions. I'm not sure actually now that I have a paid account if I actually can have more questions. But at the same time, I don't want my surveys to get too large. Because that's one thing, I'm not sure if you've ever done this. You've actually participated in a survey because you want to be helpful. And you figure, it'll take me like 5 minutes, whatever. 15 minutes later, you completed the survey because you didn't realize it was 50 questions long.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. And it's like, really, guys? And that's why I want, even though, you know, the free actually limits you to 10 questions. Fine. To me, 10 questions are perfect. It takes you 2 minutes, I think. If you want to, you can take longer. But that's if you really want to think through it some more. But most people, they know the answers. These aren't complicated questions. This is not a math quiz. And so it'll take you like 2 minutes. Boom, boom, boom. And you're done. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, which is for this, I don't plan on sending out more than maybe two more surveys is the plan, because I don't want to inundate my customers with surveys. But I would like to get their feedback on certain things, and I'm sure they would appreciate me getting that feedback and them. And I definitely appreciate them responding to the feedback. And again, the any other surveys that I do would be short surveys. Might go up to 15 questions. Not sure. But I want to keep the number of questions down so that it's quick and easy. Boom, done. And it's great help to me. And for all those who already submitted their survey answers, thank you so much for helping me out and helping me to guide what I want to do to improve the client. Because that's the whole idea of this. That's the whole idea of this. You know, is there some things I can remove? Is there certain features that could be improved? I mean, these are really simple, basic questions. I don't want to get into the whole thing. It's like, okay, you know, this multiple choice tree, it gets nuts. And I don't want to do that. I want them to be simple, and I'm gonna have to look at the questions a lot more. Now, I did also, as you can see here, as I dumped out the individual responses. And as I said, the whole idea of the individual response is to see correlation between answers. The most simple one, which we went through earlier, which is the chat area versus the action bar. And for those two questions, it's pretty close to matching from most people. Uh-oh, excuse me. I think I heard somebody do this. Is there a way to just show they're going to move but have not yet via filter or config? Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. I think there is. Ooh, there's a filter. Oops, sorry. Yeah. Here, and you can see that they only have this unmove, which actually is speed 0. You can show only ships, show only units. Enough of there. Well, that should do it. Okay, anyway, get back to this. Okay, as I said, there's a high correlation between high correlation between action bar and chat area. As I said, it seems to indicate that the two things are tied, at least in the minds of the people who use the client. Now, when it comes to the action bar and this response, no correlation whatsoever, it seems like. Zooming is completely independent when it comes to the mouse scroll wheel. A new term, it's called a squeal. I think, you know, the I think again this one I think is completely independent question, the line of sight. And this one, again, it seems very independent, definitely. I would think that if they didn't know the client that well, I would expect this kind of thing, which is the line of sight string and the show trails feature, both of them would be unknown to the person. So this is the kind of response I would expect, which is don't know the feature, don't know the feature. And this one, I as I said, I expected this one just because that's the default. Separate, doesn't seem like there's any correlation with other ones. This from my see, obviously, I need to look at it deeper. And then the function keys, which is again, not really not there's no heavy correlation between the two. Though obviously as it does, there is some correlation, it seems like, between that and that, which is if they don't know about these two features, that's the show trails and the line of sight string, they don't know about the selection feature. So, which means to me that they are most probably new to the client. And again, one thing that seemed to be, I think is the issue with, you know, people who don't know the feature is that one, for those people who have used the client for a while, and I did post the YouTube video for it, but I probably need to do is send out an email, you know, using the mailing list, MailChimp and so forth, to announce, you know, say, okay, here's a feature that you might not know about, and have a link to the YouTube video so that people then will know about the feature and possibly go, hey, this is a great feature. You know, and I really like this in the client. You know, I know that's one thing I really should do is learn more about this one client. Oh, sorry, one program, which I know there's been multiple people. This is SurveyMonkey. Hello. I download things, so that's why I'm logged in here. But anyway, which is, for those of you who don't know about it, which is the Vassal engine. Some people say, hey, you know, I really don't want to pay for playing SFB online. So I'll use Vassal. Well, that's fine and all. But there are certain features that the Vassal doesn't really support, i.e. the secret, you know, the idea of you're going to record something in secret and reveal it later. It doesn't really support that feature. And if you ever looked at when you try to play it, like play by email, what you do is you send a log of what you're doing, which is fine for some things. Like if you do it for a turn-based game, that's fine. Say, hey, here's for, let's say, what's the one I was thinking of? Okay, one I just remembered, which is Access and Allies. I'm going to move this, this, and this, and this, okay? And then and you could send the log that shows you moving that, and then, okay, he retrieves that, and then he does his move, and then you guys attack. Things like that. But with SFB, it's a little different. You move, I move, then we say, okay, I'm going to fire. Okay, I want to fire too, which is fine. Do me too firing, okay. It's a thing that you really shouldn't do because it, okay, so let me forget that. I'm not going to go there. I went through a whole discussion with that, and unfortunately, Steve Cole went against his own rules in the actual SFB Starfleet Battle rulebook. It's like, okay, what am I supposed to do? But anyway, that is the user interface for Vassal and how to use the Vassal and so forth. Obviously, it's a different kind of system. And I'm not, I think it's when it comes to different, I'm not sure how you select pieces and so forth. In other words, do I have a better way of doing it than they do? Do they have the ability to select, have selection groups, which can be saved off? And then when you load up the game again, you can actually, you actually have the same selection groups. I don't know, but it's definitely something I probably should look at the Vassal again, because I actually did look at it one time. It's been many years ago from that, but the idea is to get some ideas on that. I will never, probably never work on actually getting SFB or any of the other ones working properly with Vassal. So, but anyways, because I actually like to pay for, like, actually have money to have my servers running and things like that. I'm not in this to make money, but I need to have something that actually, so it can keep the lights on. Have to buy servers, have to buy mail servers, so forth. So that's why you pay. And I'm good grief, I'm not paying that much. I haven't raised the prices over 10 years. It's been a while since I raised the prices. Right now it's set for $60 a year for, like, if you just want SFB, it's $60 a year. That's $5 a month. You can't afford $5 a month to have the opportunity to play the game using a client which is specifically designed to help you play the game that you love. No? Okay. That's your choice. Not fussy, I just, I think it's kind of.
Fuss, 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 fuss.
Yes. Okay.
You digress.
But I digress. Amen. Thank you, Academy. Close that. Okay, I think that's. Let me actually bring up the client. So, the plan is nice. What's it called? Carl wanted me to get rid of some of the tabs here, cut back a number of tabs, and that's fine. Like in the case of, I was thinking about what I'm currently planning on doing is removing the log tab and the notes tabs, because I don't think many people use that. But I'm gonna have it so that you right click and you can then, under here will be show log, show notes. Currently there's a floating window so you can actually make the personal log a floating window. But I personally don't think that many people actually look at the log. And not that many people, I don't think there's many people that actually use the notes. Again, that's one of those, I'm gonna quit. That's one of those things that I probably should bring up in another survey, which is asking about the logs and notes feature. How many people actually use it? Now, removing the tabs, relatively easy. Relatively easy. Well, I think I got it mostly done. I just have add the feature so that actually you can bring so that when you bring up the pop-up menu, you see that show log or show notes. Now, I don't know how many people actually use the log feature, notes feature, and I think removing the tab, I don't think is a big deal. I don't think that many people actually are constantly looking, going to the notes or going to the logs. And the idea is that, you can still bring up the logs, still bring up the windows to enter in notes. But there's no reason to take up a tab for that. And obviously there's quite a few floating things. Now, the one thing that still kind of right now bothers me a little bit, which is you can it's a really weird thing about the client. And that's because just the way it was designed. Currently, you can't, the game board is not considered the main window for that room. That is, the chat area itself is considered the main window of that room, the main space. Because what you can do is you actually can take the game board and make it a separate floating window, which is not the game window. That's just one of those things That's just one of those things that is weird, and I don't like it that way. I want the main game window to be the game board, and then if you want to, you can then have a floating chat area instead. I want to switch that is what I'd like to do. Now, I think that all the problem which I want, because the way I want to look like is I want the whole, now remember, this I'm one of those unique individuals in my mind when it comes to gaming. I have one monitor. That's this screen, the main screen right here. I don't have one over here and over here. No, I'm not a big gamer who has like two or three monitors to game and it's all the full, really full-blown experience. Because I know some people actually do have at least two monitors, and I know, and actually at one time I actually did have two monitors, and I really don't like the reason why I don't like multiple monitors, because I never know where I am. I'm looking for a window. Okay, where's the window? Where's the window? Is the window over here? Is the window over here? I don't know. Now, when it comes to SLB Online Client, that makes sense to have two monitors, because you can have one monitor, which is just the board. Another mon usually the other monitor has like the ships. I've had that have that way. So on this screen, I had the board, and then on the side screen, I had like the ships. So I could actually look to see what my damage is for the ships easily over here. Keep an eye on that, and then over here where the ships are. Jeff, I know that Vassal is the chief working method for F&E Online. I understand that. Actually, I seen it on the discussion board. Oh, I don't plan on killing the feature. Oh yeah. Oh, I understand that having two monitors is great for some people. Heck, I know some people love three monitors, but again, as a day in day out process, because I'm not, I'm working on one screen. I don't want to have off over here all my Discord so I can keep an eye on my Discord chat. I don't want to keep an eye on my Discord chats, or in the case of my day job. I don't want to have this one fill up with Slack messages and have it so it's always constantly bothering me. No, I want to be able to focus and get my work done. The only time, I said the only time I could ever imagine having multiple monitors is when I'm gaming, where I want to have one window which has information about that game, and then the main board is on another monitor. That's the only time I've ever wanted multiple monitors. I don't want one that. I know some people who like multiple monitors, and that's because of their the flight simulators. Oh Lord, flight simulators or the car, racing simulators, where you have the multiple monitors. The whole idea is that it is a total what kind of experience? Almost VR experience.
Immersive.
Immersive. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've got the words, I don't. So,
Yeah.
immersive experience. And that's great. I'm not into that kind of thing. So, and that's one thing that I've been thinking. Actually, I worked on, it's one of those things that I worked on a while ago, which is what do I want my computer experience to be? And one thing I figured out is that I want to have a mobile experience. I want to be able to take my laptop if I'm in the middle. I did this a month, last month, which is when I went out camping. I took my computer, took it out with me, and actually I did some warlord orders in the middle of the woods, basically. No internet, but I didn't need the internet. I just I had everything on the computer, so I got to enter them on the computer without the internet at all, and I was fine. But if I have only a desktop computer, I can't do that. So, and the thing is, like, I would get rid of my one desktop computer, but I still kind of need it. Anyway, I think we will wrap up there. Obviously, if people have any suggestions on how to improve the client, how to see it, because the one thing I actually I didn't express perfectly, which is what I want is one play, you know. I would like to actually have a full screen, but it can't do that. Full screen board, I can have it so it fills up the screen, but not full screen. There's a difference there. And then on top of that, what I want is to have a little chat room, like maybe floating down the bottom here, which I can dismiss anytime I want. And then loading either, I can move it to the right or move it to the left. A toolbar, which I have, you know, some of the most, you know, most functions that I use, like showing, you know, bring up, click on a button, show the list of the different units that are on the screen, but not have, you know, all, everything that currently the game control window has. I just want a list of the units. That's it. Nice simplistic window, you know. So anyway, I digress. So I'll wrap up there. Doug, it's always a pleasure to have you around. Thank you for joining me on this journey of discovery of the survey results.
Well, thank you for having me on. And by the way, Gamers of Summer is less than 8 weeks out. I want to point that out. You have your list in, I believe. Yay.
Yep, yes, I do.
So if you want to add to it, change it, anything like that, let me know.
Okay, well then.
Anybody listening that wants to come by, we'll be there.
Yep.
Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
Harrisburg, PA.
Yep. Be there or be square. Okay, you have a good night.
Thank you.
So, had a nice discussion about the survey results. Again, if you have not already filled out the survey, please do. I would love to hear it. And as I pointed out, I'll have more surveys going out. I will endeavor not to inundate people with surveys, because Lord knows I've learned my lesson at work, where I try my best. I do my best to keep the number of emails that I send to people down to a very, very minimum, so that, you know, they're informational. Obviously, some cases, some people aren't interested in tournaments. They can do that. But again, if you don't want to receive the emails, please, 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 for me, please, please, use the unsubscribe link at the bottom of the email to unsubscribe from the list. And don't just mark it as spam. Because that all that does, it makes it so that other people who want to receive the email will not see it. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.